and welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
You hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one audio source for Harry Potter news, theories, discussion, as well as info straight from the makers of the books and films themselves, like me, Matt Lewis. I play Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter films, and I'm very happy to be here helping introduce your hosts, the Pottercast trio, Melissa, John, and Sue.
On our way down to New Orleans,
woohoo!
This is Pottercast 89, welcome! Welcome, 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 Pottercast 89. I'm Melissa. I'm here with John and Sue, and we're really just doing this for fun because we can't wait until Pottercast in New Orleans.
You
sort of like a filler.
We need to have like some like jazz music and throw out like some Pottercast beads or something. Hey y'all!
I'm already there. Pottercast beads.
Yes.
Be awesome.
I want to be able to hold on to a stash of Pottercast beads that
I'll
be able
there.
To hand out to people for just
being fabulous New Orleans.
Being fabulous, exactly.
Right. Okay. Anyway, so as we've already announced, next week's show will be live from New Orleans. If you can't go to the Phoenix Rising Convention, that's okay. You're going to hear the Pottercast live from the opening feast of Phoenix Rising right here on Pottercast. So we can't wait for that. Matt, who is the Whomping Willows, check it out, I got it right. Matt, who is the Whomping Willows, will be doing an acoustic set, so will Brian from Draco and the Malfoy.
Oh,
my
God.
He's getting so much free publicity out of us lately.
Well,
can you tell how the going rate was? Come on.
Don't worry, we got it all settled out, you know,
it's a burrito a week, I think, isn't it?
Burrito.
No,
but they... Actually, we've been talking, and they've got some really fun and funny stuff planned for the show, so we can't wait.
Yeah.
And we got in this show this week, we have a Scribby 5 about socks.
Socks!
And
socks!
And an all-new fan interview. So, let's hear from the people at a bookstore.
The people who actually give us the burrito a week.
They give us more than a burrito a week.
They certainly do. Today's Pottercast is brought to you by Borders. It won't be long before the much-anticipated release of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Do you have your mind made up about where Severus Snape loyalties lie? Do you think he'll betray Harry and his friends? Or will he help them to triumph over he who must not be named? Find out more about this complex character in the new hot book, The Great Snape Debate, available only at Borders. Remember to reserve Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows at Borders to save 40%.
I have a public service announcement. It's Snape.
Snape.
Not Snap. I feel the need to correct this because I'm sure that many people listening to this will have heard John say that and think it was actually Snap. So I'm just telling you.
And it's Snape. What? I said Snape, didn't I?
Snape.
You say Snape.
Snape. Yeah.
I say Snape.
Who let you on a Harry Potter podcast?
The whole thing off.
Who did that?
No.
Peggy.
It was you.
No,
I'm firing myself
just,
right now.
That was just tribute to a very big Pottercast fan, one of our older fans, who calls him Snap. I'm not sure why, but she...
That was his nickname when he was little. Snappy!
Snap.
Hey, Snappy!
Snap.
I don't know, maybe not.
How about we get some news from the Sues?
I love some news from Sues!
Hello, everyone. Topping our news this week is more movie news, as we saw a new release date now for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix for lucky fans in the UK, as they have now moved the debut of the film up by one day earlier to July 12th. The release date for the US, however, does remain at July 13th. Also, over the weekend, we saw a new trailer for the film air on syndicated program Entertainment Tonight, and among the new footage we saw was a clip of Lupin speaking at the dinner table at Grimmauld Place, as well as Sirius Black dueling with Bellatrix in front of the veil. Speaking of Order of the Phoenix, while it has not been officially posted on the Motion Picture Association of America website, a PG-13 rating for the movie has apparently been given, as the rating has begun to appear on various Warner Brothers websites containing a caution for parents regarding, quote, sequences of fantasy violence and frightening images, end quote. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire was also rated PG-13 here in the U.S. and contained a similar caution. We saw a new interview with Phoenix composer Nicholas Hooper surface, where he spoke about some of the new music he wrote for the fifth film, including a new Umbridge theme as well as a Possession theme. You can read the interview with Mr. Hooper via links on our website. Turning to book news now, U.S. publisher Scholastic released information about a special box set of all seven of the Harry Potter novels, which will be due out in October. And they did release a new photo of all the books together, all seven of them, in one nice Harry Potter trunk. This book set did include Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows and is available for pre-order via our Cauldron Shop. Well, we did hear a bit from J.K. Rowling very briefly, as our favorite author updated her FAQ on her website with five interesting things, including several items about Mr. Draco Malfoy. Very interesting. And finally, it was announced that U.S. audiobook narrator Jim Dale would be hosting a midnight release party in New York City. For more details on this and all things Harry Potter, be sure to click on LeakyNews.com, which is updated daily.
Seven books in one box.
I know.
Finally.
Did you see those? Beautiful. They were there. Right there.
Seven books on one bookshelf.
You know, I know. You know that Scholastic has been waiting to put out that press release for 10 years.
Like a treasure chest. It's hilarious.
They're like, yay, we can save this now.
It's so...
What is it weigh?
Oh, that's a lot.
A lot of pounds of awesome.
Well put, Melissa. Exactly right.
I want them to, like, actually bind them all into one book.
Oh, John!
Could you imagine lugging that around? How cool that would be.
That would be your trolley thing that you would need.
They'd have it, like, it'd be, like, 12 by... 20 inches or something. It'd just be massive. You carry it around like it's a big dictionary.
That'd be so cool. The encyclopedia, hopefully, one day will be.
Let's hope. But I don't know. But that Scholastic, it's available for pre-order in our shop. And it's beautiful. It's in that trunk. It looks just like Harry's trunk or, that Quidditch trunk that, Oliver Wood had. I just thought it was so clever of them to use that. I'm just like, oh, I want that. It's beautiful.
I love seeing the rainbow of color of spines.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
So pretty.
It was pretty. You see all the different colors together. It was.
Aww.
They did really look at the color schemes because, like John said, when the cover came out, he thought that it needed like an orange. So you can kind of
I knew it because
line.
It was missing.
But it looks really beautiful.
I could have predicted it.
Like a Skittles, like Harry Potter Skittles.
But how did y'all feel when you actually saw them there? I don't know. For me, it just took my breath. I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. Like, we've been waiting for this collection.
Well,
I haven't bought a single Harry Potter book collection yet.
I mean, I've been pretty, comfortable with seeing Deathly Hallows in pictures because I've been playing with it in 3D for the past couple of weeks now, haven't I?
It's so awesome.
Lord.
I love that thing, John.
Have you guys seen
I've gotten so many emails from people saying they were late to work or late to school because they're sitting here fingering the Harry Potter book, just flipping it in circles and upside downs and all that kind of fun stuff.
That's all I mean, seriously, it is almost as big of a time in life suck as Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
But it's so great.
This book is pretty fun.
I don't know. But that John had made, what he's talking about is that countdown we have. And this is fabulous. Him and Ashley did a fabulous job on this countdown.
Yes.
And you can put your mouse over the book and make the Deathly Hallows book just spin in midair. And it's fabulous. And it's just, it hypnotizes you. It's just.
Yes.
It does. I can't understand what's so fun about it. But just making it spin like that with your mouse, just, I could sit there. I mean, we are easily entertained monkeys.
And if there's anybody out there who has done or knows how to take a flash file and turn it into a widget for dashboard or an active desktop item for XP or a Vista widget, give us an email at staff@podcast.com because we'd get to it, but there's only about 100 other things we have to do right now. So if you would be so kind, you will get your name displayed promptly or, not promptly, what's the word? Prominently. Mm-hmm.
Prominently.
With it and get all kinds of credits and fangirls from it. So send us that email, please.
Oh, my goodness. Well, speaking of other things to do, there's 1 million Deathly Hallow books have now been pre-ordered already.
Oh.
Already.
Yeah, it took about half the time that it did for Half-Blood
Prince. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Seriously.
About half.
Well, I heard 200,000 of them were the show pre-orders. She just wanted to make sure that the book sold, so she wanted to be sure.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't embarrassing that she...
Yeah, it's going to be one big royalty check for her, huh?
Well...
Oh, John, man. You are priceless. She must, sometimes if she ever hears this, she must go, that John Noe, I'm going to have a talking to him.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of, too. My biggest fear.
I'm not afraid of that. Joe could say whatever she wanted to me. Man, I'd just feel like... Just hearing her voice directed towards me would probably put me into a coma or something.
The John Coma.
You'd be like a John Zombie walking around. I've been...
I know, it'd be crazy.
I want you guys to meet her.
Oh.
I just want a hug. In other words, like, I just want the most coolest lady in the world to give me a hug, but I just want a hug.
I still...
It's just the coolest.
It would take, like, a second of her time.
I still cringe because, you know, when I, like, surprised attacked her, looking like Arabella Fig out of the streets of New York City, you know, and I was all slimy after I'd been sleeping on the floor in the airport, and, you know, it was just, you know, how you go over these things in your mind over and over and again, and
That was what I was like after the first time, when I met her outside the Royal Albert Hall, it was the first time I met her, and I was a total nincompoop. I couldn't even speak. I was like, I have a cycle of leaking. You know, and I went over that a million times in my head. I know exactly how you feel. John, I'm sorry. I'll meet her one day.
I might be the only one of the three here.
Oh, well, someday you'll have your chance. But if I could, I think I whacked her because I had my Bloomingdale's bag because I was, you know.
I think I did.
You know, I keep playing over my head. Did I actually, like, because I went to hug her, and did I have the bag in my hand? Was I, like, you know, like Figgy hitting, you know, Dung Fletcher? Or, you just played this.
I just think it's cool that she knew your name.
Yeah, well, she put a bit Hufflepuff obsessed. Maybe that's why.
That too.
Isn't it ironic we heard again from Joe about the word Hufflepuff this month? I'm just saying.
Tongue to the Hufflepuff.
The poor Hufflepuff elves.
It makes perfect sense. I wouldn't have thought of it. I never gave any thought to it, but it does make a lot of sense because for her to be an Auror, with her clumsiness, she must work really hard.
Yes.
Well, it's crazy because I read recently about how, you know, that fan site dedicated to the elves in Harry Potter books, how up in arms they were about hearing this because now their new, you know, bad guy is, you know, the protagonist of the poor elves is Helga Hufflepuff because she was the one that enslaved them into the kitchen slavery.
Don't take that back.
Yes.
No, she did not.
To the kitchen.
She saved them. She saved them from squalor and torture and torment and brought them safely into Hogwarts.
They don't even have anywhere to sleep.
Guys, it was funny last week.
I just need this, you know, I'm pretty positive about this. So unless I see something on the FAQ section proving me otherwise.
All right, Joe.
John,
the last time you said that, the last time you said it, you got totally, completely slammed, knocked down by Joe. So I think maybe
a record.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are really upset about this, whether or not Helga Hufflepuff enslaved the house elves to Hogwarts.
She's
kitchen.
A great founder of Hogwarts. She's to be revered, and she's a good person. And
you guys
are working the name of Hufflepuff. I'm just saying.
Well, probably didn't think it was a bad thing at the time, but she was judged years later.
Who's good for the world, and you are besmirching my house, so you just hush.
I'm leaving. I want to go listen to the fan interview. I'm leaving.
Oh, okay.
Can we talk about one more thing, movies? I'm going to bang this drum right on what? John Noe. We heard from Mr. Hooper that does the new score.
Hopper.
I don't know. Hooper was a movie with...
Hooper, don't get knocked off by him, Sue. It's Hooper. John now. What is he doing to you?
Anyway, he gave this fabulous new interview. I was so thrilled to hear from him because we haven't heard anything about the score at all. And he's talking about how he's using a choir, but this big drum he's going to use that says makes this...
A choir?
In the score.
Like frogs?
Oh, God, I hope no frogs are not bad.
The random frog player from Preserve.
Something's missing here, everybody. What if we let the kids hold on to frogs? Would that make
not
the team better?
Not just frogs. Giant
frogs. Talking frogs.
Singing.
That would really add to it.
Especially when he burped at the end or whatever he did. That was really
bad. Ask anybody.
Can we move on?
Anyway,
anybody else.
We're talking about the music, though. He talks about there's an umbrage theme and a possession theme.
Ooh.
Which sounded really cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes up when it says when he said it's the story of Harry's gradual possession by Voldemort, it appears in various forms, at times slowly, but with a sense of panic. I like that part, sense of panic. Ooh.
Well, let's push on out to the fan interviews.
In the fan corner, a one-on-one interview with a new lucky fan each week.
Not me, not Hermione, you.
Hello, this is Kimberly Blair. I am here today with Sarah, otherwise known as Sassy Seahawk throughout the fandom, and we are here today to talk about something that is very interesting and tied into the Harry Potter books, mythology. Now, Sarah, when I was talking to her previously, she pointed out a very good point that might explain why the mythology is so closely tied in. I don't know if you want to start off by talking about that, Sarah?
Sure. J.K. Rowling actually majored in classical studies in school, and I have a minor in classical studies, so I found that kind of interesting. And I think that that probably explains why mythology shows up so much in her books, whether unconsciously or consciously, because that's something that she studied so much in school.
Yeah, I think that was pretty cool. When you informed me of that, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Now, one of the ways that we see mythology that J.K. Rowling represents is through the different people in the stories. Do you want to give some examples of some people that have ties to mythology and examples?
Sure. The first one that I picked up on was Sybil Trelawney. And she has two interesting ties to mythology. Sybil was a woman who was an oracle. They also channeled the gods through them, and they would sort of tell the future or what the gods were feeling about something. Apollo's Sybil, which was a Greek god, was called the Pythia and was at Delphi. And so I thought that was interesting. Already she's kind of giving that psychic feeling to Professor Trelawney. But also, in the background, they say that her grandmother was Cassandra, that she has that name in her lineage. And Cassandra in Greek mythology, there's a couple of different versions, but a lot of them are real similar. She had the gift of prophecy. And the story is that most of them, Apollo wanted to sort of hook up with her, and Cassandra was like, yeah, okay, you give me the gift of prophecy, you know, exchange for some hanky-panky. And he gave the gift to her, and she was like, oh, never mind, I changed my mind, I don't like you very much. And the gods didn't like this, so she had this gift, and Apollo made it so nobody would believe her. So she could see the future, but every time she would tell or foresee something and tell it to somebody, they'd be like, oh, it's not going to happen, whatever. And one of the famous things she predicted was the Trojan War, but nobody believed her. They thought she was actually insane and kind of loopy. So I thought this was really interesting because it ties in with the fact that everybody sort of thinks Trelawney is kind of loopy, and nobody really believes her, but she actually does tell the future, you know, does prophesize a lot in reality. So maybe we should listen to her a little bit more than we do about what she's saying. And another character was Argus Filch. And Argus was Hera's servant in Greek mythology, and he was a watchman, and he had 100 eyes, which is really interesting because Argus is so, Filch is so, you know, all-seeing in the book, and Mrs. Norris is everywhere, and he's always trying to catch people. And in mythology, he guarded Io, who Hera turned into a cow, because Zeus, who was her husband, was trying to get it on with her.
Apparently, that's in
mythology. Yeah, it's kind of scandalous. And Hera turned her into a cow, and Argus was supposed to guard her. And then Hermes tricked him into getting Io out by boring him into sleep. And I think this is really interesting because Filch in the book is often tricked as well. So I thought that was an interesting similarity, that they were both watchmen in the sorts, and they often get tricked. And a third name that I thought was really interesting was McGonagall. Her first name is Minerva, and that is actually the Roman name for Athena. It's the same goddess. Roman and Greek names are often different, but they were the same goddess or god. And Minerva's mother in mythology was the goddess of prudence. And prudence is to exercise sound judgment in practical affairs. It's often considered to be a virtue, and is often associated with wisdom, which I think really describes McGonagall very well. You know, she's got a lot of judgment, she's very practical, she's very wise. And Zeus actually swallowed Athena's mother to avoid a prophecy that he would be overthrown by his son. And Athena sprang from his head, already giving her kind of the gift of wisdom. And Athena was one of Zeus's favorite children. And she's also the goddess of war. And I think this is really mirrors the close relationship of Dumbledore and McGonagall, sort of Zeus and Athena. You sort of have that parallel going on.
Now, another place where we see sort of the tie between mythology in the Harry Potter books is in the creatures that we see. Some of them, the creatures that we've seen in the books, have been mentioned in mythology itself. Do you want to talk a little bit about some examples that you found?
Sure. Two creatures that we see in the Harry Potter books that are based sort of in mythology are the Sphinx and Fluffy, the three-headed dog. Those are sort of based on, we have the Sphinx in mythology, and we have Severus, which both came from the same mother, which was a monster. And these were put on the planet to challenge future heroes, which I think is interesting because both of them do present a challenge to Harry in the books.
Now, when you say Severus, just to clarify so people aren't like, Severus Snape?
Right, sorry.
Severus, C-E-R-B-E-R-U-S.
Right, it's a southern accent, I apologize. and the Sphinx is someone who presents riddles. And they speak in riddles with the head of a woman, body of a lion. They all have wings. They're very feared. You don't, if you come across one, you have to answer the riddle or you're dead. So most people try to avoid them. And they challenge heroes in the quest to fulfill prophecies, which I think is interesting because Harry is in the process of fulfilling a prophecy. And the other creature is Fluffy, or Severus, the three-headed watchdog of Hades, who guards the underworld. And he often lets things enter but won't let them exit, which I think is really interesting because Fluffy wouldn't let things enter.
Yeah, so it's the opposite. So
right, right. And in Greek mythology, Orpheus passed by him to retrieve his love by singing and playing a lyre. And a lyre is much like a harp, which, again, music is the one thing that calms Fluffy down.
And also we see in the books the harp that is enchanted. Now, I'm pretty sure, I know it was in the movie. I don't know if this is one of the differences that was in the movie but not in the book. But we do see in the movie that they use the harp. So, and it's also interesting that, you know, you say the Sphinx speaks of riddles, and we see when Harry's in the maze that he is given the riddle, and he is able to pass by it by answering the riddle correctly. So, now, one of the things that we often hear discussed about Harry Potter, and especially with the last book coming on, you know, we have the tragic discussion of the tragic hero, which kind of relates to the epic hero discussion in Greek mythology. Now, Greek mythology is full of these epic heroes. Now, I know you have two examples here. Perhaps you want to use some examples to show how Harry is similar to these or explain.
Sure. The first one is Orpheus. Orpheus traveled into the underworld to retrieve his love, who had passed away, and Hades had him. He was a well-rounded guy. He practiced, actually, magical arts. He was a seer and an astrologer, which is all stuff that we sort of see Harry practice in school. He was really overzealous, though. And when he went down to get his true love, Hades says, "You can take her back out, but don't look behind you." And he did, and he lost her. And he didn't get her back. And then Orpheus kind of got emo and was like, "No more women for me." But this is sort of a trait that we see in Harry. Sometimes he kind of gets a little, you know, overzealous, and he'll act a little rash sometimes. And we do see the little emo trait coming out in Harry as well.
Especially cap luck Harry.
Exactly. But we do see, you know, cleverness and luck. Orpheus used music to persuade everybody, and he sort of had a crafty plan the whole time. So we sort of see these elements in Harry as well. The other character I sort of related him to was Hercules. And Hercules was, from the beginning, Hera was jealous of him and tried to kill him ever since his birth. And as a baby, Hera put snakes into his crib. And here you can sort of see like a parcel tongue relation, a snake connection to Hercules. And Hercules defeats time and time again what's thrown at him. You know, he sort of always wins no matter what. And his trademarks are lion skin and snakes, which, again, I think is real interesting because Harry's in Gryffindor. You have the lion, and then you still have that snake tie-in, which I just think is a really interesting kind of connection with Hercules. And you sort of have common elements with all epic heroes that we also see in Harry. A lot of times their father is king, and even though James was a king, he was somebody that was very highly respected in the community. Another common element is they're almost killed at birth. They're often reared by foster parents, you have with the Dursleys. Later in life, an epic hero can lose favor with gods or his subjects, which you sort of see throughout the book when he goes through hard times, and people don't often believe Harry.
You know. Especially in Order of the Phoenix when, you know, the minister's trying to discredit him.
Exactly. And the common element that I really was drawn to are epic heroes often meet mysterious deaths. So I think that maybe this is something we can look for. So maybe, he will live, but epic heroes often do die.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that maybe would be a clue. So do you see, given, you know, your minor in the classics and mythology and things like that, do you see any sort of other perhaps possible foreshadowing, gives us hints what might be in the last book? I think that McGonagall is going to play a bigger role because Athena is that goddess of war, and she is Zeus's favorite. She's Zeus's, you know, right-hand girl. So I think that McGonagall is really going to step up towards the war and really take an upper hand. And I think the prophecy is going to keep progressing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to live. I think he's going to die. I think according to mythology, it may be a little bit later, mm-hmm. you know, mysterious death, but
yeah.
I don't think he's going to live according to mythology. I think he may hit the dirt.
Aww. At least you had the possibility that it might be later in life.
Yeah.
So at least that's good. Now, do you think that Jo herself kind of, she did this similarity on purpose? Do you think it was an accident, or because of her background in the classical studies, it was something that was already in her head? So when she was looking for names, she kind of was like, oh, you know, this is a good name. I remember studying it in school, things like that. So it was kind of a accidental reason that she came up with these names and theories.
I think maybe it's a little of both. I think sometimes, like with Minerva and the tie to Athena, that maybe that was something that was deliberate. But I think sometimes when she comes up with ideas of like Fluffy or Sphinx or kind of like a Hercules type figure, that maybe those are just things that are implanted in her head from those classical studies, and so it sort of just comes out in her writing.
Do you have any other final thoughts that you want to throw in about the topic of mythology, how it relates to Harry Potter?
I think that when people read the books, really take a look at the names and the creatures in there. And if you have any interest in them, go look them up, because there's so much history behind them in Greek mythology. And it's really interesting to really dig in there and look and see what's in there.
Well, thank you once again for talking to me today.
Well, thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Nina, otherwise known as Severine Snape.
I'm Sloane, also known as Wither Wings.
So what are we going to talk about today, Sloane?
Well, I want to start with the Mirror of Erised. As we all know, it shows the deepest, most desperate desire of a person's heart.
Yes, and what does Albus Dumbledore see when he looks in the mirror? And remember, Albus Dumbledore is one of the greatest sorcerers in the world and the only person you know who always feared.
Right?
And he sees... socks.
Socks.
Yes. He sees himself holding a pair of socks.
Right. This is obviously a very important clue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here to talk about today.
Yep. And we have a very special guest with us today, and it's the author of an essay that we published in our April issue, and the essay is called Sock It to Him, and the author is one of the gallery girls whose name on the lounge is Birthday Twins.
Also known as Katie.
Hey.
Hi, Katie.
Welcome.
Hello.
You have figured out something everyone else in the world is dying to know.
Mm-hmm. You have gone through all the books and looked for hidden clues, and you've discovered the way that the Dark Lord will be defeated. So how do you think this is going to happen?
I deeply think that socks are going to be the tool used to destroy Voldemort. And I've looked through all the books. There are clues in every single book leading all the way up to it. And I really think when we slap a pair of socks on that boy's bare feet, they are just going to burn him right up and leave nothing but smoking wreckage behind.
Wow.
So you think that Voldemort is going to be defeated by socks?
Yes, I do.
So could they be any old socks, like Uncle Vernon's old yellow pair of socks?
No, they come up a lot in the books, but they, I don't think, are going to be the actual tool, because they represent the lack of love that Harry has. We all know that he's going to defeat Voldemort with love.
Oh.
Right.
Okay, so there's a link with love.
And so the person that is always giving items of clothing knitted with love to Harry and all the other members of her family, of course, is Molly Weasley.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And typically it's sweaters that she's always giving her sons at Christmas, but Ron, several Christmases in a row, has received maroon-colored socks in his Christmas gifts, and that's what I think is going to be the tool.
Wow.
Of course, Ron hates maroon, but I think he might like it more after he ends up being the one who donated this pair of lovely maroon socks to take out Walmart.
Well, that's an amazing theory, and I think it's fascinating, you know, that fans all around the world are asking themselves, how will Harry defeat Voldemort? And they never realize that the clue is right there in the word defeat. See, the second syllable is the word
defeat.
Has to do with socks. I mean, it's all so simple. It's obvious now.
Yeah, it was really clear to me once it finally hit. It was like a thunderbolt. I was truly amazed.
Of course, Voldemort, do we ever see him with socks? I don't think we do we?
No, his feet are cold. I think that's half the reason why he's so evil. He never really has socks. I had to find a mention of it in there.
All right, so he's grumpy, you think, because he's got cold feet.
Yeah, I really think so.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
It's like the Grinch, and how the Grinch stole Christmas, and his shoes were too tight, his heart was too small.
Yep.
Obvious connection.
Of course. So because Voldemort's feet are cold, his heart is cold. It makes total sense.
Yep, it makes total sense. Can you imagine just five people sitting on him while they stuff socks on the poor guy and he's busy screaming under there, no!
Exactly.
And Voldemort's toenails. I can't get the hideous images out of my head of his feet, what they must look like after all those years with no socks. It's frightening. But we had a lot of fun with this with this essay.
So we'd like to ask you, Katie, I mean, as you are one of our revered Scribulous authors, what was it like for you working with Scribulous? How did you like the process?
Oh, it was wonderful fun. I thought it was great. Once Witherwings sent me an email and told me that it had been accepted and that we were to work on the editing process now, it just went really smoothly, and I really had lots of fun with it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed every time that she had a suggestion for me. I looked at it and thought, wow, you know, really, that works better. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Fantastic.
Great.
Oh, that's almost nice to hear.
Yeah, and I enjoyed working on it, too. I mean, you did a great job, and, you know, I enjoy working with a lot of authors, though. It's so much fun to take someone's essay that's already great and find little ways to make it even better.
So if anyone else has an essay for us, please submit it to our email address, which is scribulous@theleakycauldron.org. And if you want to read Katie's essay and all of our other wonderful essays, please go to the Leaky Cauldron front page and click on the Scribulous scroll in the right-hand column, or go to scribulous.com.
Or the Leaky Lounge. You can go right into the lounge and go under Cauldron's Corner into the Scribulous forums, and then you can get the essay, access the essays from there.
Exactly. There's so many ways to get into Scribulous, it's impossible to not find us. Right, I think our time is about up for this week. Katie, thank you so much for your wonderful essay, and thanks for being here with us today.
Oh, thank you.
We had a good giggle about it.
It was wonderful, thanks.
All right, and that's it for us this week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Wrapping it up. Hey, guys, next time we speak, we will be in New Orleans.
I cannot wait.
Oh, my gosh, Sue, when do you come into New Orleans anyway?
On Wednesday, the 16th. Not
the
till the evening.
Okay. I get in at 2, most of it gets in the morning.
Yeah. I wish good I could, morning. But, you know, I had must do the mom duty thing first, and then...
Sue has a life, more than me.
Sue has a life.
I cannot wait, though.
She's got some responsibilities.
I'm so excited to go, though. I just love that city to pieces, and I just...
I want to try a gumbo at every restaurant.
Oh, I know the good places to go, too. We are going to... And no burritos.
You put gumbo in a bread bowl?
There's no burritos in New Orleans.
There's
so much good food. I mean,
I like to try local food, so I'll save the Chipotle to a sewer.
And the shrimp is
Are you going to say that in Santa Fe and Albuquerque when they have actual Mexican food?
I don't know. It all depends on how successful the Chipotle challenge is, I guess.
Well, we're already, Sue, hey, between you and me and one of the Potter's boys are already planning to torture John with Baja Fresh the whole time.
Wait, what's happening?
Nothing.
Why did you say that quietly? I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, sorry, John.
What are you trying to...
We're going to get you a lot of Chipotle gift cards.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. That's what we said.
You're not getting me any Chipotle gift cards. You're not alone.
Why not?
I'm not.
Because then I'd have to do the thing.
Well, maybe I'm behind the... Oh, mm-hmm. God, right, the thing. Guys, 20 Chipotle gift cards, and John is at your mercy.
Yes, but we're not encouraging you to steal your parents' credit cards or to spend your month's sub allowances.
No, please don't.
I'm doing lemonade stands and bake sales for this. Just for the for you, you know, your select sect of you who like to send things anyway.
And there are quite a few.
There are. Remember the time we had that huge thing of cookies before the live podcast in New York?
We had so many cookies, we didn't even know what to do with them. We just put them out in the backstage room.
But you know what? That saved my life,
remember
though.
The time where we got a basket of poison cookies and Melissa had the flu for like a week and a half?
No. Untrue.
No poison cookies, please. Send those to some other email address.
Cookies, though. I mean, my God, that weekend was crazy.
They were delicious.
Didn't eat much, and then...
My anonymous coffee has been great.
Coffee and cookies. Can the life be any better? Chocolate and caffeine. Fab.
Yeah. Sue, New Orleans has like some of the
yes,
best coffee.
Yes, they do. Around. We're going to go have
and
some.
You and me, lady.
Cafe Du Monde. We're going to have a great time and we'll have a beignet. And let me tell you, you'll be caffeine and sugared up and you're ready to roll for the day.
Well, after having
that's
caffeine.
Right. Oh, that's what we'll do. We'll go have a wonderful thing we're doing. I can't wait to do that.
What?
Oh, my gosh. Can't wait. We're doing 7 in the morning, John. Put on your construction.
What?
And your...
I'm doing the show.
John.
What is he doing? John.
Here we go.
Hold on a second.
Oh, John, you're doing the... You're not allowed to... John.
I'm doing the...
You can't leave. You know, I swear, Sue, sometimes...
This is our life with John Noe. Off he goes. We don't know why.
He just goes. Like, you know, we're leaving this in here because we want you guys to hear what he does now.
Goodness.
It's 3 hours to record 20 minutes with this guy.
Do-do-do-do.
John, you left the computer on again.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Who's... Hey, who's this?
Well, who's this?
This is Melissa.
Hi.
And Sue is over here.
Oh, hi.
Who is this? Mama Noe?
This is John's mom.
Hi, John's mom.
Hey, guys.
Do you believe your son, he just goes off and leaves us in the middle of a podcast?
He did?
He did. He just left.
He probably was hungry. Oh, he's always hungry. He's always hungry.
Then he leaves the mess in the kitchen right afterwards. So that's...
Has he always been like that, leaving messes?
It's pretty predictable for him.
You know, we just can't take it. Sometimes he just throws everything into disarray. It's like 4 times in this show, right? In this show today, that he's just made us crazy.
Yeah, he seems really distracted. He came home yesterday. I think something's on his mind.
What do you think it could be?
Probably the new movie coming out. I think he's getting obsessed.
John, obsessed with movies?
No.
Surely not, no.
Or girl. Either one. It's going to be Harry Potter or a girl.
It might be both combined.
Oh, that would be a bad combo.
Might be a girl who really likes Harry Potter.
I hear there's some of those out there.
There are a few. But how do you do it? How do you keep them in line? Speaking of, this is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day.
Hello. Happy Mother's Day to you. That's fabulous.
Oh, well, thanks, guys. Yeah, I have all the kids here for the weekend, so it's really a good Mother's Day for me.
So how do you keep him in check? How do you keep him from running off to get food every 2 minutes?
I don't.
I can't. He's bigger than I am now.
Yeah, but he's... Though he is a good kid as far as he feels guilty real easy, so I can play that a little bit.
Nice, do it. Make him feel real guilty.
Yeah, he's a good kid though, so I can't complain other than the messes and the laundry that he brings home.
Laundry.
You know.
Well, while we've got you here though, you have to tell us some juicy like childhood embarrassing as hell story.
Oh my. Well, what do you want to know?
Did he ever like dress up in dresses when he was 4?
He's probably. Why would you have come up with that unless he's already told you?
No, I swear to God, I made it up. Did he really?
Yes.
No.
Tell us more.
His name was Johnny John.
I can't believe you'd ask me. That's the first question you'd ask.
I
Oh my God.
We have pictures.
Oh, we wanted to see them. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Oh. He was four though. I mean 4 or 5 though. He was just a little guy.
What were the dresses like?
You know, I don't remember. He was playing with just another kid and a girl in the neighborhood, and I don't know. They just found clothes.
So funny. Oh, John.
Oh, dear.
He's a little outnumbered, though. Come on, he's
that
four sisters. So.
Yeah, he was doomed from the start.
Yeah.
You only have to worry if he's still doing it today.
Which I don't think he is.
And if he is, hey, to each his own. But... What other juicy stuff can we take up on, John? So you used to dress up like a girl. Did they ever like put on plays and stuff for you when he was little?
No, it wasn't until he got older that he did that.
We did. We have seen pictures of the blue sequin pants.
Well, that's when he was in high school and he did the musicals in high school. When he was Conrad Birdie and Bye Bye Birdie and stuff.
You know, he does have a fabulous voice, and I'm a mom of a little boy too. And even though did he sing to you a lot when he was little? Because my little boy likes to sing. I wondered if John.
You know, he took piano lessons when he was like 4, and he was so cute. Yeah, he's actually he didn't stick with it long enough, but he has a really good ear for music. But no, he wasn't. He was really shy as a little guy, you know. So no, singing wouldn't be what
he's
would have
done. He's not shy now. I'm just saying.
No,
truthfully, he really is. Other than when he's sitting at this computer with you guys, he's still a really quiet guy. So I can't. He's not real. I don't even understand this persona of his that he's got going on with Harry Potter because it's not my kid. I think he's morphed into somebody else.
You know, one of the great things about being a mom on Mother's Day is, you know, like, my little boy likes to bring me breakfast in bed. Okay, so John has a great affinity for food. Did he ever make you some really clunker meals and stuff when he was little? Or even now?
Yes. He can cook now. Now he is really good. In fact, when he comes home, I'll send him to the grocery store with my charge card and say, go, you know, get all the ingredients and make me spaghetti and meatballs. And he'll make a whole batch and freeze it up. Crab cakes.
Up, huh?
He's good crab cake. He likes to do that. Teriyaki stir fry. I can't remember any clunker meals.
Did he ever tell you his story about the meatballs in college?
Good one.
Oh, you mean he burned down the dorm?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, you let him cook meatballs still?
Well, he's learned. He's actually much, much better than that. But I think it probably goes back to the Little Tykes Kitchen he got for Christmas one year.
I love those things. They're fabulous.
We do have these classic Johnny-isms from under the Christmas tree that seem to haunt him through his teenage years.
Tell us more of what haunts him now.
He's done some clunky things to me as a kid. We talk about the time that he decided to... he decided he was mad at me, so he peed in my perfume bottle.
That's terrible!
Oh, that was so bad. And at like, the
I
same time,
around
he decided...
For a month.
I was too... Well, that was right before he took a washcloth and sat on the drain of the shower and plugged the shower and then opened the shower door and all his gallons of water went all through my bathroom down to the floor below. I know. That's John.
Oh, why am I even surprised? Like, you know, none of this is surprising considering
boys, you know.
Yeah, but still,
that was bad.
That's bad.
That was bad. But that was like, I have to say, that's probably the worst thing he's ever done. Isn't that pathetic?
Actually, no, that's probably good.
Yeah. I don't know. He's pretty, other than this Harry Potter thing, that's about, you know, that seems to be it. He's really focused on this stuff. It's funny for those, you know, you guys have seen John. But when he was born, and people say, well, what's the first thing you said when you saw him? And I remember it distinctly because they handed him to me, and I looked at him, and I said, oh,
He's so funny looking.
You did not.
I did. Because his eyeballs were as big as they are now, except he was, you know, 7 pounds back then.
Oh, my
gosh. And he has these beautiful eyes. And, but back then he looked like a frog, but...
But wow.
He was distinctive looking as a child. He was all eyes. That was a nice little memory. That was...
See, the things moms have to go through with their child, it's just unbelievable.
I know. It's fun, though. But I just can't believe he's as old as he is. I mean, almost 20. I don't even know how old is he. Going to be 23. Holy cow.
Wow. Who are you talking to?
I'm just talking to...
Don't tell him. Don't tell him. I'm an only. Don't tell him.
What are you doing with the microphone?
It's a microphone?
Well, you're talking to somebody. It's not talking to yourself.
Hello?
Also.
You talking?
I wanted to meet your friend.
Is this recording?
I don't know.
No. I don't understand this computer screen. It's interesting.
I gotta finish with Melissa Stillman Marcus.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go because I actually got woken up.
Were you talking about?
Because he was so loud. You're so loud.
Oh,
I'm sorry. He does these shows in the middle of the night, and I have to come in and bang on these doors and say, you're so loud. It doesn't quite conducive to family reunions. You're so loud.
Okay, well.
Nice talking, Mother's Day.
Welcome back, John.
Well, were you guys not talking for a while, were you?
No, she just said hi. Just waiting on you.
Just said hi, and then you came back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
Hi. Well, so let's talk about our tour.
Yeah, we're going on tour.
Oh, my gosh, we didn't even talk about that at the beginning of the show. Holy hell.
Well, we're going on tour. We're playing
we're going on tour.
22 shows or something.
Million shows. Podcast.com/tour.
Rockin'.
Check it out.
We're coming to a city near you, and we're playing with Harry and the Potters, which should be awesome.
Woot.
You know, we announced that last week. People have been so kind and so generous, and I appreciate that.
Oh, yes.
It's just been fabulous because we can't do it without y'all.
I didn't want to speak to a few people individually. We've had a lot of emails from people claiming how we have something against Alaska because we're not coming to Alaska, or something against
Des Moines.
You know, sure, something against Georgia or Maine or whatever. We must hate
Florida or Michigan,
state.
Or
and,
state,
you know,
Texas.
It all just came down to where we could go and where we could line up the most shows. And we're hitting up more states than any other podcast in the country, in the world, this summer, so.
You think that's true?
I guarantee it's true.
Any of our podcasts touring?
I don't think so. They're nice and free for y'all to come see, so it'll be fabulous.
Yeah, they're all free. How about that? All the podcasts are free. And look, this is how it worked, because as we've said, we planned the first part of our tour around doing these three mega shows with Harry and the Potters, because we all wanted to get together and have all this fun. So in order to do that, we have to be physically able to get to these venues. So we planned it for the driving and everything else. Then the other parts are basically how we could get from New York over west in as little time as we can, leaving with as much space between places so that we're not repeating too often. You know what I mean? It's very, very... I mean, we're going to be driving 5 to 6 hours at the very least a day. So we tried to come to your state. We're
send your tips about how to fight motion sickness to staff@podcast.com. Attention, John.
Or nausea induced by a lot of kissy face to Melissa.
You know what? After the first day or so, you'll be completely blind to it.
While driving. That's good.
I'm going to sing to you. Sing the whole time.
What are you
doing?
No, seriously.
Honestly,
we are
God. Doing
this.
Guys, seriously. We're
oh,
doing
man.
This. I mean,
being in the car with Sue and Melissa makes me want to make out. let's make out right here in the car. Come on.
What? Oh, my God.
Jeez.
I can't even imagine this summer with
y'all
in the car. These conversations are just going to be just out there.
Recorded and posted online. That's what they're going to be. Recorded and posted. We're going to, forget about the content. You guys are going to get on podcast.com. I just got our internet card.
Oh, thank you. Woohoo. People were worried that we weren't going to update.
Are you kidding? 3 weeks before the release of Book 7, we're not going to be updating the site. Come on. Who are you dealing with here? Let's go. But seriously, thank you for all your generosity. We are doing this on the smallest budget you can possibly imagine. Like, literally, I am using credit card points for the car that we're using. Like this is how low budget we're going. So we appreciate all your offers of places to stay. Keep them coming. And we will see you. We will then see you on tour. Phoenix Rising, we're going to the Chicago. Then our next live show is June 9th. The Chicago Tribune Book Fair, once we have, we need times and such for that, so once we have more details on that, we'll be putting them on Leaky and on podcast.com. Remember to keep checking podcast.com, because now that we're doing a lot of live shows, we're going to be updating it a lot.
Yes.
A lot. But that's what we're going to do when we're bored on the road.
Awesome.
Can't wait.
Awesome.
Can't wait.
And
thank you for your tips on the sunscreen. I actually went to the store.
Yes, thanks for all those tips. As my sarcastic thank you is for all those spray bottle tips. Give me a break.
Hey, man.
You people, I swear.
Super soaker thing was a great idea.
Super soaker. Hey. Somebody just goes, perfect. Super
if you arm yourself, I'll certainly arm myself.
With what?
My dears. With super soakers.
Oh, man. Great video.
Those going to be like 110 degrees down there in Phoenix and old places.
Super soakers. Great. You guys complaining about heat when you don't have hair and other issues like girls do. I don't want to hear it.
Why do you mean I don't have hair? What kind of...
Well, you don't have long hair like
albino...
I mean, you have to do your hair.
The hell?
You have hair, but it's short.
That's what?
And you shave it, and if you cut it short or shave it, nobody, you know, it's not bad. I mean, I guess we could shave our heads, but that would be fun.
I don't... Plus, I hope I don't look wilted when I go in to do these shows. That's what I'm just kind of worried about.
I mean, this
what was an episode of Friends where... Was it Friends, or was it like, it was Monica's hair or something went ridiculously crazy huge because it was like really hot and humid and everything? Was that, was Friends, wasn't it?
Hmm. We need Frack for this. He's got them all.
I don't remember. Yeah, it's Frack. Enjoy it. Friends.
We're going to see him this summer.
Woo! Okay, people.
Just go. You're wasting time.
Are a lot. Yes. A lot of people coming your way.
Woot.
Wait. We'll see you in New Orleans. If not, see y'all later. Have a great week.
Mm-hmm. Download your countdowns to Book 7, Movie 5.
Countdowns.leakynews.com.
Countdowns.leakynews.com.
Bye.
Bye. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Yay, woohoo!
Mother's Day, Mom.
Yeah. Job
is free. Oh, and about time, too.
We've missed it.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now. If you two don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great, Scott. No wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when we're having fun.
Actually, I heard that they were just CG frogs, that they actually just held their hands up and they put the frogs in later. It cost $7 million for that.
Okay. The most world's most expensive frogs ever.
Well, they took a lot of time and care into those, actually.
Except for the Budweiser.
It took 3 months and $7 million to the singing frogs. I was just thrilled when I heard that the Umbridge theme was going to include a lot of cowbell. Because not enough of the soundtrack so far have had enough cowbell. So
you think that has to do with, Colch's hammering on those...
Could have been.
Well, John, you know very well, because that's your part in the Leafsters. You play cowbell.
What's that? Yeah, it is. Well, this Hopper guy, he came up all day and he's like, I'll do it, but we need more cowbell. I don't have enough cowbell.